I'm mixing things up a little this morning and having the reader read the second reading and the gospel reading, and I'm reading the first lesson. And the main reason for this is because I wanted to. The first reading is the first creation story from Genesis, which is one of my absolute favorites, and I wanted to get to read it. And most of you know, I've talked about this before, that the creation story is this beautiful story that communicates not just with the words, but the rhythm, the cadence. There's this poetic nature, and in the Hebrew even more so, but hopefully we can hear it a little bit in the English reading. So as I read it to you, I'm going to invite you to listen for the rhythm, listen for the sound of the story, how creation comes into order and rhythm as God talks it into being. And keep in mind that this is an origin story that was meant to teach us something about God and about who we are as God's people. So, our first reading comes from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together God called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and all the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work of creation. And on the seventh day, God rested. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work of creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Today's second reading is from Psalm 8. O Lord, how sovereign, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you've established, what are human beings that you've been mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all the sheep and the oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel acclamation. Today's gospel is from Mark chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when he saw them, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Word of God, word of life.
Okay, so the creation story. I love this story so very, very much. But the creation stories in Genesis have been very problematic for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. And one of the biggest reasons probably is that too many people for too long tried to use the creation stories in place of science. And unfortunately, some people still do. And I even remember as a kid being very confused about what I was learning about how the world was created in Sunday school and how to make sense of that with what I was learning in science class. Because as a kid, no one had taught me about the different genres in the Bible and how we have to read different types of literature differently. And when you try to force different parts of the Bible into the wrong box, we often lose the power and the beauty of what it is that they have to teach us. And we can end up with some really, well, a lot of mental gymnastics, right? Trying to make it all work. But our creation story is not a factual account of how the world was created. That's not what it is. What it is divinely inspired scripture that teaches us important truths about God, about the world, and about ourselves. Our creation story teaches us important foundational truths like God is the source of all life. Life-changing truths like God created the world and us with purpose and with intention. It teaches us that each and every one of us is created in God's image, that we all wear the face of the divine. The creation story teaches us the truth that God created the world and everything in it and named it as good, as having intrinsic value and worth. It teaches us that all of creation is precious, and so are we. And of course, one of my favorites, it teaches us that even God rests, and that God set aside holy time, sacred time, for stopping and resting, and that God calls us, who are made in God's image, God calls us to share in that rest. So see why I wanted to read the story? It's an important story, and it has so much to teach us. And on this Trinity Sunday, it's especially important for us to notice the beautiful image of community, community within God's own self that's found in the creation story. The triune God is relational, like I said, within God's own self. And that is vividly expressed in the creation story as God has conversation with God's self about creating humanity. God says, "Let us make them in our image. Male and female, let us create them." That is such a loaded sentence. There's so much in it. It says that God is multifaceted, multidimensional, that God contains relationship and diversity within God's own self. And it's in the image of that complex God that we are created. We are each made in the image of God. We each bear some resemblance to the divine. And yet, none of us can bear that image alone. No single one of us, no individual, and no single group of us, no subcategory, can bear the image of the divine alone. Because God is so much larger and encompasses so much more, it requires all of us, in all of our diversity, all of our differences, all of our uniqueness. It's in the rainbow of diversity that we truly see the image of God reflected. There is so much good news in this creation story. But the part that the psalm writer rejoices in today's psalm, is the fact that God, who created all of that diversity, God, who is the source of all life, the creator of the universe, that God cares for us. Have you ever sat outside at night and looked up at the stars? Have you ever gone out away from the city lights where you can really see the sky and looked up at the stars and felt the immensity of it all and felt how tiny we are in the scheme of it? Well, that is what the psalm writer is responding to. The psalm writer is marveling at that, looking at the stars and feeling how tiny we are. The psalm writer responds by rejoicing in the good news that the creator of all of that, all of the universe, cares about us, tiny little dust specks that we are. God, who created everything that exists, cares about us, loves us even, and created value and worth and purpose into our very being. God wove it into us and made us reflections of God's own self. And for some reason, God the Creator entrusted us with caring for everything that God made. It's mind-blowing. It's overwhelming. And all the psalmist can do in response is marvel and sing praise to God. Of course, the precious work of caring for God's creation has gotten twisted and abused over the years. Scripture about God entrusting all of this to us has been used to justify ransacking the earth's resources, and even used to defend colonialism. I mean, people have taken the gift of responsibility and turned it into a right to dominate and control. But that's justified by bad theology and also a lot of bad translations, which we can talk about at a different time if you're interested. But no matter how you translate it, the power and the authority and even the dominion, whatever word you use, all of that is an extension of God's power. In that Genesis text, the power given to humanity is a reflection of God's power. And in our gospel reading, the authority that Jesus extends to the disciples is also an extension of the authority God gave to Jesus. So to understand the power and the authority that is given to us, we have to look at the one who gives it. Jesus shows us exactly what the power of God looks like. Through his life and his ministry, Jesus shows us that the power of God looks like healing, feeding, loving. The power of God looks like communing with people who've been cast out, standing up and speaking out for the downtrodden, no matter what the cost. The power of God looks like forgiving, helping, caring. It looks like relationship. That is the power that is given to Christ's followers. That is the authority that we have here on earth as people created in God's image. The power and the authority to love and care for one another and for creation. The power and the authority to offer healing through forgiveness and kindness. The power and the authority to participate in the divine community of our triune God. The power and the authority to respect and value the God-created diversity of creation, to honor and cherish the God-created diversity of humanity, gender diversity, racial diversity, the diversity of ethnicity and sexuality and neurodiversity and gender expressions, to honor and cherish all of the many and varied faces of humankind, and to see all of them as expressions of the divine. Siblings in Christ, rejoice in the fact that God, who created all of the beauty and the wonder of the universe, loves you and cares about you. Know that you are loved and valued and named as good. And that you, exactly as you are in all of your uniqueness, you were created in the image of God. Rejoice in that truth, in that good news. And as you go out into the world, see the beauty of creation all around you. Honor and cherish what God has made. And see in each and every person that you meet a reflection of the divine. A reflection of the diverse, complex, and relational one who made us all. Thanks be to God. Amen.